Good morning. Be seated, please. Please. It is certainly an honor to be with you this morning, to be able to share the word of the Lord. I believe he's given me a word that, Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered. And how did Apollos water? He said some of the same things that Paul had already said. He just reinforced it. And I believe the Lord has given me a word for you this morning that will do that. After he showed me what I was to teach, I looked at what Clint and others had been teaching over the past months. And we've talked about running with the giants. You've talked about God needs me. Back in March, you were talking about miracles and also healing. And then most recently, the book of James, which we'll reference a couple of scriptures there. But all these things, today the Lord has laid on my heart to talk to you about faith in his power. You know, if I asked you, can God do all things, then everybody would say yes. Jesus made that statement. With God, there's nothing impossible. In the book of Jeremiah, it says, Lord, our God, is there anything too hard for you? And the Lord answers that, and he says, no, there's nothing too hard. But are we willing today to believe and accept his power at work in your and my life today? Or do we think that was just for another time? And so I want to encourage you with that today. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians verse 18. And we're going to go through a number of scriptures today and just share with you what the Lord has given us. In verse 18, it says, Paul writing to the Corinthians, for the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so what that really means is that some people can hear the same word and have totally different reactions to it. They can think it's absolutely crazy, or it empowers them on the inside and causes them to grow. But look what it says. It's to us who are being saved. Now that word saved in the original language, we think of as I get a ticket to heaven quite often. But one of the things I want to share with you is that word has a connotation of much, much more. Do you know it's actually translated to be made whole when Jesus was healing people? And so it's also has an inference of peace. I liken it to the old Hebrew word shalom, which is peace in the Old Testament. But it means to preserve, to heal, to be whole, to be made whole. So I want us to see that this power of God, and we talked a lot about he made me a new man in our worship this morning. There was power exerted in you to create that new being, that new man, when you were born again. And what is it saying? The word of the cross. How about if we say this, the gospel or the good news about Jesus and what he did on that cross. That itself is the power of God. Now, this continues on. Drop down in verse 22. It says, for the Jews asked for signs. They were always asking Jesus, show us a sign to validate who you are. And let me tell you, if anybody ever says, prove to me that Jesus is alive, that's not our job. We just proclaim what the word says and let that word and the power of it work. It continues on and says, and the Greeks search for wisdom. The Greek people, the Corinthians, were notorious for just wanting something new. And you know, a lot of Christians, as we've been in church for a while, we'll start trying to find something new. But it seems like to me the Lord always takes me back to the very basics. And then in verse 23, he says again, but we preach that gospel, which is Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Gentiles foolishness. And now it's talking to those of us who are born again. And if there happens to be somebody here today who's not, this can be remedied before you leave today. I trust this word will just encourage you. And look what it says. To those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, our Lord Jesus, is the power of God and is the wisdom of God. Now, how many of us would say we need more wisdom in our life? And I would. And wisdom I really define as the ability to act on God's word, what knowledge and understanding he reveals to us. It's the ability to use it to do something in this life that we live today. And so we need wisdom, But the Lord is showing me in these days we need to be trusting and having faith in His power as well. He is not coming back for a powerless church. He is coming back when all His glory is seen throughout the earth. And you're going to see again today, and it answers the question that you probably heard when you talk about God needs me. You and I are to play a role in that. This concludes in 25 by saying, but the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And so I want to encourage you today to not just depend on our own wisdom, not depend on what we know or what we think we can do, but to begin to learn that wisdom that He gives us that's on a higher plane, but it's very applicable to everyday life here, and to do what? To depend on that power as well. Now, and I've tried to do like Clint does. You'll see here, Christ is the what? The power and wisdom of God. And that's one of the things I want you to take away. Jesus has been made unto me, that wisdom, that power, when He came to reside in me, dwells in me. Let's look down a little further in 1 Corinthians to chapter 2. Paul again continues talking to them, and he said, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's really what we read earlier. And then the next verse, in verse 3, says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And what he's saying there, I believe, is that he didn't want to come depending on his knowledge. Paul was well trained. He was the Pharisee of all Pharisees, trained at the feet of a guy named Gamaliel, who was one of the chief teachers of the Pharisees in that day. And so he knew a lot, but yet he's saying what here? I didn't depend on it. And then in verse 4, he says, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom. How often today do we hear people just try to talk and talk and talk us into things? A lot. But this world today is not just depending, or we're not just dependent on the talk and what people are saying, because what do we take it right back to? The Word of God in Scripture. And then he says, my preaching was not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit who is here with us today. And if the Spirit's here with us, then what do we know? His power is here with us as well. So a demonstration means a manifestation. So what Paul is saying is, every time I teach, I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself with power. That's what happens when we're born again. That's what happens when we come here and have people pray for us, as Clint was talking about, and peace comes over us. Anytime a change occurs in you and I, God has been at work and that power has been manifested in it. And then verse 5 concludes by saying that he wants it to be a demonstration in power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on what? On the power of God. And you say, yeah, but my faith is in God. Yes. But I don't want you to just to think of God as a being who has some power and He's just out there. I want that power that He has to substantiate to you how much He loves you. I want you to experience that love that only He can give. You know, in John 17, verse 23, there's a verse, and I can remember exactly where I was when I heard it the first time. And it basically says that Jesus is talking, and He says, I want you to know that the Father loves me, you, just like He loves me. That's an amazing verse. That the Father God loves you and I just like He loves Jesus. And that's when we begin to see that love, then that power that He has begins to work in us and for us. So let me ask you a question. If we have churches that don't teach about the power of God and never preach it or declare it, but just entertain, then what do you think they're going to get? No manifestations of power. But I know, maybe in a little different way, that that you're taught here about the power of God, be it healing or be it other manifestations. And so when we hear, what does it do when we hear about the power of God? It causes us to have faith arise. And that's what we're talking about today, having faith in the power of God. That ties in with what you saw in James, when you saw in James 5:16, that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. One translation says, that prayer that you can pray brings great power on the scene, power to change things, power to change lives. And we've got to remember, we serve a supernatural God, so He can do things in our lives and bless us in ways that we never have imagined if we will believe in His power at work in us. You know, 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, and these are not going to be on the screen. It says, and this is the confidence we have. We know that we can, if we ask the will of God from Him, then we know that He hears us. And then it says, if we know He hears us, He will grant us what we ask. And so, again, why we study the power, why we study the Word, is so that we'll see what God wants manifested in our lives, and we just ask Him for it, and we have the promise then that He will, through His power, manifest it to us. So where is our faith? Our faith is in the power of God. Now, I want to just give you a couple of scriptures, because I don't want you just to take my word for it, of how important this is. Look in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 5th verse. It's talking here about people who hold to a form of godliness. In other words, they act very godly. You may think they're very religious, but look at what it says. They hold to this form of godliness, although they do what? They deny the power of God. Now, this next phrase is very strong. It says, avoid such people. Now, it's talking about believers here. It's not talking about those who are unsaved. We wouldn't expect them to understand the power of God. But this is just a strong warning to us that we don't want to just come to church and sing songs. We want to worship from in our spirit and let that power that He's placed in us begin to go to work in our lives. And you ask, well, how do we do that? And we don't have time to get into a lot of that today, but I would just ask you, how did God create the earth? By speaking. Light be. And I might say light still is today. And he wasn't talking then about the sun. He was talking, I believe, about releasing His glory. So as we get this in our heart, then we'll begin to speak, as the word says, we speak what we believe. Now, I want to show you one other verse, too. Paul, in Romans 15:19, he's talking about his preaching. And he says that I want my preaching to be in the power of signs and wonders, in the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel. Now that says to me, every time God's people gather together and share the word of God, we ought to expect Him to show up. We ought to expect some change to occur. If people are sick, then we ought to expect healing. If they're troubled and vexed in their mind, we ought to expect peace to come. If there are people who aren't born again who want to be, then what do we see? A new person by the power of God created. So that power, that wisdom is aimed at you. Now let me show you a scripture here to show you that you are the object to be the object of that power. Ephesians 1, verse 18. This is in one of the prayers that Paul talks about. He's praying for us. And he says in 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling. Not your and my calling, but Jesus' calling. And what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance. And then how does this finish out? It says, in the saints. Do you realize that you are Jesus' inheritance. You are what he went to the cross for, to be made part of his body. And then this verse continues, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power? And what are the next two words? Toward us. Everything that God has done in this earth has been aimed at you and I. From the time he created Adam and Eve, he created them for what? For fellowship. Everything that he's done. And this verse continues and says that this is in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Some translations say the power of his might. And then it continues on and tells you when that working took place. And to no surprise, it's talking about the cross, which he brought about in Christ, which he when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Do you realize that the Bible talks about God created things with his fingers, and sometimes he did things with his hands? But here it said, when he raised Jesus up, he raised him up with the surpassing greatness of his power, the power, the strength of his might. In other words, it took a significant amount of power. And why was that? Because he just wasn't raising a man from the dead. He was getting rid of all the sin that you and I would carry from time created all the way through when Jesus comes back. And so it took a great example of his power. But again, I just want us to see that power is aimed at who? You and I today. So I would say to you then that we are the object, or I am the object, of his power. Now, John 17:26, I want to go through this verse because it just builds on, I believe, what you probably were taught when God Needs Me was taught, that series. Jesus is talking to his disciples just before he goes to the cross. And so when would you tell the disciples some of the most important things, your disciples? The very last thing that you tell them. You want to make sure you tell them the important. And look at what he says. He says in praying to the Father, but the disciples are listening, I have made your name known to them, talking about the disciples. Now, what would he do to make his name known to the disciples? Well, the name of the Lord is Jehovah Rapha, which is the Lord my healer, so he would have healed. It's Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord my provider, so he would have provided. As he multiplying what? The food for the 5,000 and all the healing that he did. And it's also Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is my peace. It's another word for righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu, which he made us to be able to stand right. That power was exerted when he was raised so that we could stand in right standing with Jesus before the Father. So he said, I've made your name known to them, and that's a few of the ways he did it. And then he says, and I will make it known. Now, where is Jesus today? This is just before he goes to the cross, and then he's crucified. 3 days later, he's raised. 40 days later, he's resurrected to up, raised to heaven and glorified. So when he says today, I will make it known, who is he talking about? Is he going to come back and physically do that? Or is he expecting you and I to do that? You know, one of the things that I have come to see is we are God's plan to proclaim the earth, him throughout the earth. There is no plan B. He could write his name in the sky and the whole world see it at one time. But that's not what he's chosen to do. He's chosen, even as this verse indicates, that he wants to make the name of the Lord and all the goodness that it represents known to the world. But how is he going to do it? Through you and through me. You know, it's not a matter of will it get done. He will make his name known. And his glory will fill the earth. The question we have to answer is, will I be a part of it? And I would submit to you, if we don't believe that he has power in this earth today to work through us, that we're going to have a hard time stepping in and accomplishing this role. And then I can't go on. It's really a little different from what we're talking about. But I want to finish this verse. He wants to do it so that the love which you have loved me with may be in us. Does Scripture teach us God loves all men, even those who are unlovable? Well, why would I ever say today, I just cannot love this person? Because whose love, if we're born again, resides in us? That agape God kind of love does. And again, this is why we have to believe that that love has the power in us to cause us to love. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy doing, and I want to compliment this body on it, you guys care for your community and minister to your community as much as any church I know of. And every opportunity when the church will post something or Clint or Mel will post something about what you're doing with the children in the area or other ministries, my favorite thing to do is hit the share button and just let others know of what you're doing. And it's building, it's producing fruit. I don't know of many churches that have grown during the pandemic as this one has. And so again, to me, that's an example of God's power at work on behalf of this body for this community. And it just thrills me to think about what it's going to be like as the more you grow and the more thanks you give and the more grace you receive, then what you're going to happen. It's just going to magnify and spiral on up with increase. But that's what we can see the Lord do when we believe His power. This is our time. I can remember, and I'm thinking in my mind, it's probably been 10 years ago, when I had the opportunity to share, and the Lord just put on my heart to say, there's coming a time when you're not going to, the church was about to hold a garage sale. And it rose up, there's coming a time when you're not going to have to hold garage sales to minister to this community like you want to. And it's my understanding now that other organizations, other churches are joining in with you. And I just want you to see that's God at work for this body so that He can be lifted up and the people in this community can be lifted up. Now, some of you are probably saying, God's power. How in the world am I going to operate in God's power? And I would dare say, if you discuss Gideon in your Running with the Giants series, Gideon was a guy who was standing in the wine press, hidden from the Midianites who were all around him and who were wreaking havoc with the children of Israel. And he was trying to shake out some wheat, which you do in the open so the wind can separate the wheat from the chaff. But he's hiding there, and an angel of the Lord comes to him and says what? Hail, O mighty warrior. And he says, who, me? That may be how you feel. It's how I certainly felt when God started ministering some of these things to me. Of who, me? Gideon says then to the angel who's come on behalf of the Lord, look, I'm of the tribe of Manasseh, the weakest tribe in Israel. My family is the least of those in the tribe of Manasseh. And by the way, I'm the youngest. But what had the Lord called him? O mighty warrior. And I want you to see that when we think that we can do things of ourselves and in ourselves, that's when we're probably going to step out and fail. But it's when we know that we're stepping out and beginning to do things that I've not been able to do in this natural realm. If you had told me 15 years ago that I would be doing this today, I would have laughed at you. But when God calls you, what does He do? His grace comes on you to equip you to do what He's calling. And so I want us to see that God loves to give power to the weak. Isaiah 40, verse 28. And this is a really special series of verses. My dad, who you've probably heard Clint talk about some through the years if you've been here long, was a football coach. My first exposure to Sylvania was riding down with my grandfather to watch the team in Dublin where he coached play here in Sylvania in playoffs. Sometime we won and sometime we didn't. But this verse, Dad shared with our basketball team in my high school 52 years ago. So don't spend the rest of the time trying to figure out how old I am. I'll be 70 next year. But he ministered to this, and we were playing a group of guys that had beat us 28 points in the regional finals. We were playing them for the state championship again. And so we thought of ourselves as able to do this, but what we saw in that game was this prayer come to fruition. And so let me just read this so that you see how God will view you, just like he did us in those days, to give us the wherewithal to accomplish. It says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary nor tired." How would you like to have that testimony of power and strength in your body? And let me just say, this is your father. Or I would prefer to say, this is your daddy. This is my daddy. This is who he is. And then look what it says. His understanding is inscrutable. It means his wisdom. And so we're seeing again power and a discussion about wisdom coming together from the Father. And then it says in verse 29, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. I am not able to just sit down on my own and put teachings together. I've not been trained through seminary or anything else. Everything that I'm doing now is where the Lord has worked in me. And if you knew me years ago, you would have seen what a change has occurred as we simply begin to believe the power of God working in us. This verse goes on to say, though youths grow weary and tired, and the vigorous young men stumble badly. And I don't believe it's talking just about young people. I believe it's saying here, in this natural flesh that we live in, there's going to be times when all of us get weary and tired. And so where do we turn to in this case? Look at the next verse. Verse 30 says, or verse 31, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary, or King James says, walk and not faint. But I want us to talk about, for just a moment, that word wait there. That word wait literally could be translated. In fact, a guy's name, Young, I don't know his first name, but he translated a version of the Bible. He was very good in the Hebrew. And what this verse says in his translation is those expecting Jehovah. So this word wait is not just like I'm standing and I can't do this holding the mic, but I'm twiddling my thumbs, just doing nothing. Waiting here means you're waiting with expectation. You're anticipating that the Father is coming by. The Father with power is coming by. And it's almost as you're lying in wait to just be with him as he comes by. And what's he going to do for you? He's going to give you new strength when we believe. New strength to do what? Just so that I can go do my work in a day? Maybe. But he's also going to build you up strong inside spiritually, so that when people come and challenge us, that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but we're bold in talking to them. Now, boldness and arrogance are two different things. But we can be bold in him. We're told to come boldly to the throne of grace. And that comes from an inner strength, or really a better word for boldness there is confidence that we have. Is there another example of this in Scripture? Yeah. Do you remember when Paul asked the Lord three times to remove this spirit that had come against him? He called it a thorn in the flesh, I believe. And we've all had those. We call them different names. Maybe we call it a pain in the neck. That person has been a real pain in the neck to me. And some of you are laughing. You may even be thinking of other phrases that you've used for that. But Peter, there, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, makes this statement. He says, "The Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness.'" So what is he saying here? When we don't depend on our own strength, when we don't look to ourselves for the answer and we look to him for the answer, that he will strengthen us and guide us in what to do. Paul goes on and says, "Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses." And why is he going to do that? Not just to belittle himself. He's not trying to be humble in a false way. He wants to do it so that the power of Christ may rise up and dwell in him, that God will build him up and strengthen him. And then the very next verse, he makes this statement. "When I am weak, I am what? I am strong." I might say, when I'm weak in my flesh, then I am strong in my Lord. I am strong in my daddy in the strength he provides. You know, we're called to imitate Jesus. Scripture says, imitate God. And who is the best example? Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And I really like this scripture, Acts 10:38. And I think it speaks of you as well, as you are imitating Jesus. It says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with glory, or with the Holy Spirit, and with power, and he went about doing good." Now that's what a lot of people will skip over with Jesus, but he took care of the poor. I mean, when Judas went to betray him, they just thought he was going to give money to the poor or buy food for the poor. And that's a lot of what you do. And we are supposed to do this. But look at what it says also. He went about doing good and then healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He went about taking people out of the grasp of the devil and setting them free. And he could do it because he knew what he was going to be doing on the cross. And that's exactly what we as a church are called to do today. So I'm not telling you stop what you're doing, anything. I'm just saying to you, be aware of people and their needs and see that you carry a greater power. How is the world going to see the glory of God? It says it's going to cover the sea. It's going to be through you and I. Let me just close with this. Matthew 5:16, Jesus is talking there on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "You are the light of the world." And then he makes this statement. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Saints, let me just challenge you. Keep doing what you're doing. God has blessed you. He will continue to bless you. But do not neglect, do not fear the power of God beginning to operate in a greater degree in this church. Because you're going to see this church have a reach well beyond this city, even the state. And it's not something that you can do unless you what? Fully embrace and walk in his power. Father, I thank you today for encouraging me in this word, and I pray that it has caused faith to rise in those that are hearing it here. Father, you've called us to be carriers of your glory. In that same chapter in John, Jesus, you said, I've given my glory to them. And you also said, and this applies to all who will hear about me through their words. So Father, we just ask you to open our eyes today to the endless possibilities. Father, we ask you to just cause faith in your power to rise up such that we never say, I can't believe that. That we're always making the choice to believe in your goodness, your love, and your power being exhibited through us today. Father, I ask that people who are here today who are troubled in their mind, and let me just pray for you before, as a group, and then you can come up for prayer afterwards also. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, is there anyone here who would just raise their hand and say, I'm going through some things now and I feel like I'm at the end of my rope? Or I'm being tormented in some ways? Well, Father, I thank you that no one here has raised their hand. I thank you that good seed has been planted in them, so they're producing good fruit. But I ask you to give them the wisdom to go in your power so that as they encounter people who feel like, I can't take another step, I can't go on this way anymore, I thank you that they will have your power at work in them and speak the word which will cause deliverance and freedom and change in those people. Father, I pray for people here who may be fighting some type of illness. Something that maybe they can't even diagnose exactly what it is that's causing symptoms. We speak to those symptoms and we say, Jesus bore my pains and my diseases, and by his stripes we are the healed. Father, we let your power work in us to do that cleansing work, the fullness of that salvation that Jesus purchased for us. Father, we bless your name. You are a good, good God, and you're good to us all the time. Thank you, Lord.